Well, welcome to Healing School. For those of you who are here with us and not just viewing online with us, I want to welcome you and commend you for braving the elements. We prayed, I want you to know, those of you who were coming and that when that big rain hit a few minutes ago, we were praying for you here in our corporate time of prayer. So we're glad to see all of you. And again, I commend you for pursuing Him by pursuing the Word this morning. And I believe we're going to see miracles today. The last several times that I have taught, probably the last six or seven, I've taught about healing power toward me and about us having faith in the power of God for healing. And then the last time I taught, we talk about hope being restored. And so I want to just remind you of a couple of scriptures there, and we're going to actually look at them, and then we'll jump into what the Lord has given me for today. So go back to Proverbs 3 with me, and I want to read you two verses. In Proverbs 3, third chapter of Proverbs, first verse, my son, do not forget my teaching. So to me, I'm hearing as I say that, do not forget the words that I'm putting in your heart. And that's where we want those words to get to. But then it says, but let your hearts keep my commandments. And we may wonder, well, why is he saying that? And in verse 2, as you remember from the last time I taught, if you were here, says, for length of days and years of life. And a lot of times we stop there and say, that'll be added to you. But what did we learn last time? What did the Lord draw our attention to? Length of days and years of life and peace. So this life and peace just has been bubbling up in me for the past several weeks. But that peace will be added to us also. And we see in Romans 8:6, talked about the mind set on the Spirit is what? Life and peace. So over and over, I just want you to get this life and peace, because peace literally means nothing missing, nothing broken. All is well. Everything that you need, they're in that peace. And then if you look at the fourth chapter, verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Attend, give heed to them, hearken, some other translations might say. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your, where? Heart. So it's not about memorizing verses, just memorizing. It's not being able to quote one. But it's about keeping those verses in your heart. But first we got to do what? We got to hear with our spiritual ears so that we can receive them in our heart. And then the benefit of it is listed in verse 22. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Watch over your heart then, verse 23 says, with what? All diligence. So we're watching over that heart where that word has been placed in us as we hear with our spiritual ears. And from that heart, with that word in it, flows what? Well, what does it say? Flows life. But it flows like springs of life. In other words, it just ought to come bubbling up naturally. So when we get it in our heart, then that is just going to be our natural reaction. And that is so important when things come against us, because how we respond initially makes a big difference to what's going to happen with those things that may be coming against us. And then we looked at Mark 5, and I just want to remind you of one verse. This is the account of the woman with the issue of blood. She'd had all these troubles. She'd suffered much from the doctors, spent all her money. And it said, after hearing about, or after hearing concerning Jesus. And what did we see? When she heard, it was as if something pierced her heart. And we looked at the word, peri, which literally means, comes from a word, means to pierce. And I told you, for me, it reminded me of P-E-R-I, reminded me of periscope, us being able to see in another dimension. So it was like she was able to see herself. All of a sudden, she went from no hope, hopeless, to full of hope. And that hope became alive in her and actually caused her to get up and go in faith. And she went saying these things over and over, doing what? If I only get to him and can touch the hem of his garment. So I want you to see that that word, when we hear it and get it implanted in us, will cause hope to arrive. And of course, we know that that's how faith comes, by hearing that rhema word. And she got that and she acted on it. Today, and I'll just tell you, Tuesday morning, I didn't have a clue what I was going to talk about. And so I went to my office and just sat down and began to pray in the Spirit for a while. And what I'm going to be talking about today is restoration of my, and then we're just going to see, have a blank there. And what I want you to be able to do is whatever you need to be restored in your life, physically, emotionally, whatever healing you need, I want you to be able to see that word written in here today. In all of these verses that we read, I'm asking the Lord that your heart is open wide and that you're receiving the word, just like that woman with the issue of blood when she heard about Jesus. Because we've just read scriptures that says, when we get that word in our heart, what comes with it? Life and peace, which includes healing. So as we go through these today, just have that in your heart. Now, the first words I heard Tuesday morning from the Lord was, ask big, ask bold. Ask big and ask bold. And I must confess, I thought straightway of not just asking big, but commanding big. Not just asking, but commanding that which we know we already have. And we can do that because a couple of verses came to mind. And the one I want to read you is concerning Joshua in Joshua 13, 12 and 13. If you want to look at it, if not, if you just want to take notes, I'll read it to you. Because we can ask big because we have a big God who wants to do big things for each of us. So this is when the children of Israel had attacked the Amorites. And this is what Joshua spoke to the Lord in that day. He said, inside of Israel. Now, that takes boldness in and of itself. And I want to be honest with you. There were some things that I was fighting in my body Tuesday morning. And when I heard ask big, I said, Lord, is this just for me? Or you don't really want me to teach that because I need to be able to walk in this. And those of you who teach know how that will happen sometime. But I felt like he said, no, yes, this is for you, but I'm giving you this for Tuesday, for Thursday morning healing school. And look what he said. So I'm saying this, ask big, command big to you in the sight of all who's listening here and both online. And look at what he said to him. O son, stand still at Gibeon, and O moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13, so the sun stood still, and the moon stopped. Now let's just stop there. Do you think Joshua and the children of Israel had any idea of how that happened? I have tried to imagine how it happened. I can't, because things are spinning all the time, and for the sun to stop, something had to stop spinning, and if it stopped spinning, we would be just thrown who knows where. But the reason I say that is how much when we ask God something, do we try to figure out, even ahead of time, how He's going to do it? It doesn't matter if we don't understand. All we have to do is believe the words that we've heard, when we speak them, will come to pass. So until the sun stood still and the moon stopped, until the nations avenged themselves of their enemies. Now, I think that's important, too, because this word that you're going to get, I believe this morning, that's going to cause you to be able to command big, ask big, and be set free, it's going to stay at work until this thing that you're standing for totally manifests, just like the sun and moon stopping did. It's going to stay active as long as we keep that in our mouth, saying what he said. And then it goes on and says, is it not written in the book of Joshua, and the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hasten to go down for about a day. How big is our God that he can stop the sun, which is just the central part of our solar system, and yet is a part of a much more complex, ever-increasing solar system. So again, I have no reason to understand it. I have no way to understand it. But I don't want to get into thinking about the hows when it concerns healing, because what am I doing? I'm moving into a realm that the devil is proficient in. If you try to battle the devil with your mind only, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get whipped. Because he's been doing this for so long, he's really good at it. Reasoning also will impact our faith when we're, especially when we're believing for something big. If we've been instructed, as the Lord has stated, speak boldly, speak big. And if we start reasoning, well, what if nobody, or how's this? Then that will impact your faith, because it's contrary to what the force that you need on the inside of us. Now, the other thing that reasoning does is it will cause us to give in, and I'll use this word, to settle wherever we are. In other words, it'll cause us just to settle and think, okay, this is where just the way it's going to be. I'm going to get strength to endure it. So I want to just give you a scripture, because that's not the kingdom. The kingdom is one of what? Increase. Come on up higher. Move up. See it like I see it. 2 Chronicles 25. Now in 2 Chronicles 25, Amaziah has been named king when he's only 25 years old. He reigns for a while. And there's some enemies that still need to be dealt with. But I want to read, start in verse 2. And I just want to talk about some of these words here. This says concerning Amaziah, and he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a what? A whole heart. Now, the reason I think that's important for us is we think if I'm not absolutely perfect, then it's not going to happen. That's not mercy, and that's not grace. And we have both of those working with us. You know, let me just tell you what this word whole heart really is. King James says perfect. New King James says a loyal heart. It is the word S-H-A-L-E-M. Now, this is coming off a derivation of the word shalom, for peace. And what this literally means and what it's used for, it comes from a word shalom, S-H-A-L-A-M, which is literally means a covenant of peace. Isn't it interesting that peace is used here concerning a whole heart? And I think a lot of times we think, well, I'm not at peace, but maybe in our heart we are, but we're trying to live in a peace that the world gives. And if you look at that word, it comes from, again, the word shalom, which means sound, your welfare, and it's obviously translated peace. So this is how he wasn't serving with a whole heart. He wasn't serving with peace in his heart. And I want you to see that this causes him to settle. So he had a war he needed to fight. So pick up in verse 6, 2 Chronicles 25. To go to battle, he had mobilized his army there that he was responsible for. And then 6 says he also hired 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel, and he paid 100 talents of silver for them. But a man of God, a prophet, came to him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel in this, nor with the sons of Ephraim. And then he tells him in verse 8, but if you do go, meaning if you do go and take them with you, he says, God will bring you down before the enemy. And then he goes on and says, for God has power to help and to bring down. Now we got to remember, all this is Old Testament. But Amaziah said to the man of God, and I want you to see what his concern was. He said, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I've given to the troops of Israel? Now what was he concerned with? How much he had already paid. And what about this 100 talents? And look at what the prophet said to him. The man of God answered, verse 9, the end of it, and says, the Lord has much more to give you than this. Now, what is our perspective? Am I going to lose what I've already invested? But yet, it wasn't just the investment. What did the Lord have to give him? A great victory with many less men. But he had stepped out in his reasoning, and it caused him to settle in something the Lord did not want him to do. He wanted to just settle for much less than was provided. Now, he ended up going, and he conquered and had a great, great victory. But yet, the Lord had a better way for him to have that victory. And I think sometimes that's where we get hindered and we settle into, I can just endure this. I can remember, I believe it was Brother Kenneth E. Hagin coming and saying that a lady came to him once and said, I've got these five things that I really need, but if you can pray for this one, I can put up with the other four. What is that? That's settling for less than the Lord really wants to give us. Now, the other thing that I learned from this is the Lord is not obligated to do everything the way I want him to, or the way I think he should do it, or the way he might do it. He's not obligated to do everything that comes across his mind. And that ought to be relevant to us, because what did Mary say concerning Jesus? Whatever he says, do it. And so we got to hear, we got to act. And what was the third part about that? The Lord then does the work. Now, I heard again as we were talking, I'm just kind of just sharing with you as the way my conversation with the Lord went that morning, because we were looking up these scriptures as he would drop them in our heart. And I heard him say these words, now is not the time to settle, but it is the time to look for creative miracles. And then I heard restoration of my, and you fill in the blank. So he was speaking to me about some things I'm standing for, but he's also speaking to you. So what might that be? Well, I just started making a list. It's not a long list, but the first thing I thought about was a diabetic condition. Someone is fighting diabetes, and the Lord says, don't settle that you're just going to have to take medicine all your life. I am not saying, and listen to me clearly, quit taking your medicine. The Lord will heal you, and then you can get rid of that medicine. And to be honest with you, we have a great testimony in this church, and maybe the next time I teach, I'll ask that person to just come up and let she and I have a conversation about how she's been healed of some major impacts of diabetes. And then I heard a heart condition. And when I heard that, I was reminded of a lady that we once prayed for in Tennessee, probably 15 years ago, 16 maybe, where her heart was racing, and we just prayed for her after a leadership meeting at church, actually, on a Sunday afternoon. And since that time, she's had no reoccurrence of it. So again, don't settle. The doctor had said you're going to have to take these kind of pills. No. I actually got a note right after I had made some of these notes, and it was from my old church in Tennessee. They continue to send me prayer requests. And it was concerning cancer. A doc person there, friend of a person in the church, had been told by their doctor, there's nothing else that we can do. So that person has really got a decision to make. Do I settle with that word? Or do I pursue what the Lord is saying? So whatever needs restoring from you, tissues, organs, glands, joints, if it's emotional, then it could be abuse as a child or as an adult. Whatever needs restoring in your body, the one who cares about you is saying to you, yes, I will do it. Now, there's one more time that the Lord says, or the word says, the Son stood in its place or did not move. And the Lord dropped that in my heart, and I had to look it up because I didn't know where it was. So go with me to the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it. And we're going to look at the third chapter. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. You can do that. I'm just going to take some verses of it so that we can see the context of which this verse is right in the middle of the before and the after. But I really want to focus on what was the results of the Lord's power being made available to these people. And the title of this section in my Bible is God's Deliverance of His People with Might and Power. And I would say that means, to me, His grace. I know we say grace is unmerited favor. My favorite definition of grace is all the power or the ability of God available to you on your behalf. He's not going to hold it back. That's His grace. So I want to start in verse 2. And as we read 2, 3, and 4, I just want you to see how the prophet here is praying and the picture he's painting of his God, our God. Lord, I've heard the report about thee, verse 2, and I fear, or I have reverence toward you. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, does that sound like something we could be praying about today? From a health standpoint, from our nation standpoint, from so many different areas of things that are going on. And then verse 3 says, God comes from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Now listen to this. His splendor, or His grandeur, might be a better word, covers the heavens. And the earth is full of His praise. And the word for praise there is Tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A, which is the phrase that is used for singing a new song. And then the next thing it says is His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from His hand, and there is the hiding of His power. Now, some translation says He has horns, and there's the hiding of His power. What did a horn represent? It represented strength in the Bible, the horns of a large ox. But what He's telling us is that that power, that strength, comes forth as light from the Lord. And what do we know from the first chapter of John? You really can't separate life and light, of which Jesus was both. So let's jump down then to verse 11, which is this verse that I referenced earlier. He says, sun and moon stood still in their places, and they went away, meaning the sun and moon, as was just as if it disappeared, at the light of thine arrows. So it's almost like he's saying here, the sun just stood still, but it was really hidden by what? By the brilliance of the light of the Lord. Because a lot of times lightning is talked about in the same connotation with arrows. So I want you to see that the sun and the moon here again stood still for His people. And then let's go down to verse 17, and we'll pick up here. This is the result of all the things that's listed around just before verse 11 that we read and a few verses after. All the things the Lord did, acted on for His people. And as we read this, you're going to think about, well, there's nothing to eat. There's no provision. So let me just remind you. If there's no provision, nothing to eat, what is going to happen to us physically? We're going to get weak, and we're going to be open and susceptible to disease. So there's a natural evolution. There are some words in the Bible that really build upon this, and it starts with sin, where lack and then disease are words that are propagated from there. So 17 says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock shall be cut from the fold, and there shall be no cattle in the stall. Now that's a pretty dire situation. And as I was meditating on that verse early this morning, the Lord said many people view their body in the same way, that nothing's going right. Everything seems to be going wrong, breaking down over and over. So I just said, yes, sir, and kept on. Verse 18, yet I will exult or rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And then it gets to verse 19. So out of all this lack which could cause weakness. I want you to see the strength that is manifested in His people. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hind's feet, and He makes me walk on high, or I would say difficult, places. That's the Lord and what He wants to do big for you and I today. So don't settle. He has much, much more than we could ever imagine. Turn with me to Ephesians 3:20. And I'm going to read it to you in a couple of different translations. And again, we're just building on this. Let's don't settle for where we are. You are what you have become, not what you can be. So there's always change. That's what temporal means, temporary. Ephesians 3:20, and you know it well. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now in our study of the power, what did we learn? All of that power dwells in you. You don't have a partial Holy Spirit. The Lord is not the limiting factor. And it's not condemnation to say we are, because we need to learn how to release it. And by building faith, as we're doing today, is one way. The Amplified reads this way. Now to Him who, by or in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us. This carries the connotation of that power has been at work. It's still at work. And guess what? Just as Paul said about the Lord has delivered me and He will deliver me. And I know even this time He's going to deliver me. So that's the way we can view this power working in us. This power is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. And then the parenthetical part of the Amplified here reads, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. The Passion Translation, that last phrase concludes by saying, He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now, I want to read you, as we're talking about not settling, believing for increase, the Lord can do more than we even imagine He can. I want to read you a testimony of Miss Daisy Osborne. And Daisy Osborne is the wife of the renowned evangelist T.L. Osborne. And this is about a meeting they were holding in, happened at a meeting they were holding in Africa years ago. And so I'm just going to read you what I found about it. Carrying a dead baby in her arms, an African woman approached the tent where T.L. and Daisy were holding the healing meeting. She came to receive. That's a key statement to me. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She wasn't coming to just settle to ask them to do a funeral. She came to receive. She put the baby in Daisy's arms. Now, let your sanctified imagination just see the picture of what's going on here. This woman coming distraught, yet with great hope, confidence, and she just comes up and hands the baby, wrapped in a blanket, to Miss Daisy. And then she asked her, would she pray for her child to live? Now listen carefully to the words that are used in this testimony, and I'll amplify it for you. Daisy took the baby and prayed over her. And here's how she prayed over her, rebuking the devil and loosing the healing, the resurrection power of Jesus. So what was she doing? She wasn't just asking, oh, please, God. She began doing what? Issuing commands against the mountain of death that had faced this woman and her baby. It says then, suddenly she began to feel movement in the blanket. The baby was alive. Glory to God. Now, that's awesome, isn't it? What a testimony. But listen to the rest of it. So she handed the baby back to the mother. And when the mother opened the blanket, because she could see the movement in the blanket to look at her daughter, she began to scream and shout. When Daisy asked the woman why she was screaming, this is what she said. My baby had been born with only one eye, but now she has two. above and beyond what we think. When Jesus restored her to life, what did he do? He went above and beyond and he gave her a new eye. Doesn't that sound like Ephesians 3:20 today? Doesn't that sound like, don't just settle? Now, you may want to believe first for no fever on your way to believing for total strength. But when you start believing for no fever, don't accept 98.8 or 99. Believe that it's going to be gone. Now, as I was typing these notes, the Lord reminded me what we actually prayed at corporate prayer. And there's a number of you who were here Sunday night. We had a number of people who were talking about that this was the time for signs and wonders to begin to increase here at High Point Church, not just in healing school, but in everything that we do through all its people. And the Lord spoke, it won't be church as normal. There was another word that affirmed miracles that a woman spoke, saying that she heard miracles would begin to manifest in increased numbers. And then I had actually forgotten this until the Lord brought this back to my mind as I was typing this. I then spoke up and just said, creative miracles, because this is what I heard, should be expected. It's not church as normal. We are to begin to operate in the manner He wants so that in these days, we become the light that people see. His light shining through us in the works that He does through us so bright that no one has a chance to deny it. And I know a lot of people say, well, healings happen a lot at evangelist meetings. Well, I agree. And we probably need to be, I need to be more involved in some of that. But He loves you. And He's given you a covenant of peace that we talked about earlier. And that is part of your covenant right. So what I believe we're doing thus far today, and we will continue for just a few more minutes, as we teach, is we're really priming the pump, if I can do that, for our faith to get energized so that when we can crank that pump handle up and down, our faith will begin to flow like those rivers of living water that Jesus declared that they would through us. And it is. We were talking about some things in our time together this morning before healing school. And we all have to increase in this faith in order to operate where we are absolutely certain that we know. And that's not, the Lord wouldn't tell us to do it and not give us the grace to walk in it. From there, and I apologize, but this is the way the Lord gave it to me. I'm not using as many scriptures as you think I should, but He then brought to my mind a song. Now, I don't quote songs very often because I want to make sure what I quote is the Word of God. And this song, though, really ministered to me. It was one I heard, got from my son, actually, by Israel and New Breed, I believe was the group who did it. And they were in South Africa. Interesting that this testimony would come from South Africa. That's probably what brought it to mind. And he began to sing in the spirit what I would term a new song. And the song was actually put on an album and has the title now of Take the Limits Off. What a great title for a song tying right into what we're talking about. Restoration and not settling. Here's some of the words that were used. And this is what I believe the Lord is saying to us. To see how big He is and then to be able to hear His word and ask and command big. Some of the words He was using. No limits. No boundaries. See increase. Spring forth. Break forth. And then He uses the phrase, enlarge my territory. And as soon as those words came to mind, I won't trouble you by singing that song, but I can remember all of those words, was able to. I remembered what He told us in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. So go there with me, please. In Isaiah 54. Now, this is prophetic of the church. It's after chapter 53, the redemptive chapter that we study so often here. And look at what it says, starting with verse 1. We're not going to read all the verses, although if you want a chapter to read today, if you read a chapter a day, read this chapter in its entirety. It says, "Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you have who have not travailed." Now, what is it telling this person to do? To rejoice before they see what they're desiring. True? We see that? And then it continues in saying, "For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman." In other words, talking to the church, you've not seen yet, and I think this is so applicable for us today, and we're going to talk about it from a physical standpoint and a spiritual, but it is time for us to see the increase of people who are coming into the church. And that's part of us, I know it's healing school, believing for healing for ourselves and others. And then it uses this phrase, and most of the time I've heard this taught, I've heard it taught about, hey, we need to believe so that our church gets enlarged. But I believe, and it can be that, no question, but I believe this is talking to you and I as the tent, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit and Jesus inside us. So don't see this as enlarged, just a tent. See it of yourself. Enlarge the place. Enlarge means open wide. The place of your tent, says the Lord. Then he says, "Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not." Now, when I saw "spare not," I knew, got a vision of where the Lord's taking us. Because "spare not" means what? Be bold in what you're doing. Be bold in how you're spreading it out. This is growth that you're beginning to declare over yourself. And then he says, "Lengthen your cords." Because those cords need what? Need to tie to a peg, which he's going to say here, strengthen your pegs, that stretch that tent out and hold it down when storms come against it. But in a study that we did, we've shared it here back a couple of years ago, the word peg comes from a word that also the word trust comes from. It's like something you can put your hand on and just hold on to, knowing it's solid. Or if you throw a heavy coat over something, or hang a beautiful picture on a picture hanger, the image it gives is, I'm stable, I'm steady, I'm faithful, and you can trust. And then it says in verse 3, "For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities." So again, these are things I believe we can declare, and ways we can declare increase over us and our posterity, as well as those of us who are in a body of Christ and joined together in that body. And then he says, "Fear not, for you will not be put to shame." You know that there are times when I hear from the Lord say this, and I almost want to ask him, did I hear you right? Because there's a part of me that does not want to be ashamed. I don't want to step out unless I really heard. But yet he's giving us an affirmation here that we will not be ashamed as we stand, hold on to him, that peg. It says, "Neither will you be humiliated, nor will you, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth." Boy, there's some things we'd all like to forget from that, probably, isn't it? "And the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more." Why is this true? Verse 5, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth." Now, don't stop there. Look at this next verse. "For the Lord has called you." And then it compares it to a wife forsaken, grieved in spirit, even a wife of one's youth when she's rejected. So how often as we have individuals felt like, where are you, God? Have you forgot about me? And yet we're encouraged in this, saying, we're never rejected. We are never forgotten about. We have every basis to know that peg we can trust in and that it will hold us up steady during the times of any attacks that come against us. Now, go to verse 8. But I want to just go to the middle part of verse 8 for time's sake. It says here, but with everlasting loving kindness. Some translations will say mercy. It is the Hebrew word hesed, H-E-S-E-D, which I think the best translation is covenant love. It's translated loving kindness in Psalm 103 over and over again. So many times it's used there. But it's that kindness, that love that gives, that has covenanted with you to provide what you need. But with everlasting loving kindness, with an everlasting covenant love, I have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. And this is our new covenant. Jesus took it all. All we have to do is believe in who He was, what He did, the act of the cross, the resurrection, and speak that with our mouth, and we will speak what we believe. And then in verse 9, He continues, and He has more covenant talk. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you. King James says wrath. Now that is such a comforting scripture for me because it says, even if I do like Amaziah did, and maybe my heart is not fully convinced and loyal in this word He's given me, He's not going to get angry with me. He's going to correct me, which we should all accept correction from the Word. And He's going to put me back on my feet, stand me up tall, so that He can continue to do those things. He even says, I won't rebuke you. But correction is something we all ought to desire. And finally, like verse 10, and this is a verse that as I walked at our last home in Tennessee, I would walk up to the front of the subdivision, which was much higher than where I lived, and I could see the full mountain range behind me. Many times I would be walking in the winter and it'd be snow, just beautiful on that mountain, and it wouldn't be snow where I was. There were times that I was certainly walking in the snow. This is the verse that came to mind every time. And I'm not saying that lightly. I don't remember any time that I walked that as I got to where the entrance divider was that I wouldn't quote this verse. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness, my hesed, will not be removed from you. And my covenant of what? Peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now look down at verse 17 as this chapter concludes. Because of that covenant we have, the things that come against us, the things that were listed in Habakkuk, the third chapter, just before it talks about how He would make us strong and stand. This verse says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. This just reassures me that all these things that come against me, the impact of sin in the earth, not necessarily your sin. I know a lot of people who have had COVID attack their bodies, but never would I believe it attacked it because of something they did wrong. That's just this virus that is at work. But this says that weapon will not prosper against us. So that's a promise we have. So what are we doing here? We're expanding our territory to where we see anything that has come against us, our family, our friends, we're expanding our territory, so we don't settle. So, well, that's just the way it is. It's the way it's got to be. We stand strong and firm in that we have a God who will restore everything we want to do. On the 21st of January of this year, now the Lord had me teach on restoration. It was much different teaching. But we said at the conclusion of that, this is what he told me to declare and to have you declare, 2021 is my year of restoration. And then we declared three times, restore, restore, restore. Let me tell you what restore means. And when I say this, think about that testimony from Miss Daisy that I read you earlier. To restore, to bring back or to put in a former or original state, to restore what was previously yours. What was the original design, desired state for that baby? To be born with and have two eyes. So we have this assurance that the Lord will do this restoration for us. Isaiah 42:22 is the verse we use there. Let me read it to you in New King James. But this is a people robbed and plundered. You know, that's the way I see the church a lot of times today. People who don't know their rights. I feel like they're like the centurion who, when he learned that Paul was a Roman and he was about to be scourged, said, well, I bought my citizenship with a great price. In other words, he earned it through works. And Paul said, I was born a citizen of Rome. That's the lack of knowledge that so many in the church have today. And as a result, they are robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, it continues, and says they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, P-R-E-Y, and no one delivers. For plunder, and it concludes by saying, and no one says restore. But I'm telling you, total restoration is why Jesus came. Spirit, soul, and body. To put you and I back just to the way it was in the garden. Now I'm going to read seven scriptures to you. And we're not going to just spend a lot of time talking about it. I'm doing this because these were seven of very many that I thought the Lord highlighted to me concerning Him being a restorer for you and I. So it starts in Genesis 42 with Joseph, who I believe was a type of Jesus. It says, Joseph gave orders to fill their bags, talking about to his brothers, with grain and to restore every man's money back in his sack. They had brought money to buy food. They gave it to him. He gave them food, but what did he also restore? Their money, their finances. And to give them provisions for the journey, and thus it was done for them. So first, it was to restore what they got, and then he had them just fill their bags, and that literally is talking about to overflowing. The second one of these that I want to read to you is in Leviticus 6, in the law. And it concerns a thief. Now, what does Jesus say about a thief that is attacking us? He has one who is to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's come to give us life and life in abundance. This verse says, then it shall be, when he sins and becomes guilty, talking about the thief, that he shall restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by extortion. And isn't that an interesting word? Because to extort somebody, you're telling them something that you're going to do, and you're convincing them that you're able to do it, and they pay you off because of what they think. How much of our sicknesses come on us like that? So then he says, what he got by extortion, or the deposit which was entrusted to him, or anything which he swore falsely, he shall make full restitution for it, and add to it one-fifth more. So there is what's yours that was taken, plus he shall give it to the one. And that's what Jesus is doing with you and I, freely providing to us through that abundant work, that abundant life that he lived. Another one with Mephibosheth, and David is a type of Jesus in welcoming him into his home. 2 Samuel 9:7, if you're taking notes. And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness, hesed, to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly." Now, what has been taught here, I know a couple of us have taught it, that when Mephibosheth was restored and when he came as a son and set up under the table to partake with David, what was taken away? Any shame of his lameness. It was as if it never existed. So restoration there. And then you've got the account of Elisha's servant, Gehazi, who is talking to a king. And this woman comes up. And here's what verse 4 picks up and says. And it came about, as he was relating to the king how he had restored the life to the one who was dead. And you remember that the woman who built him the room, he restored her son to her. Elisha did. The woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house, and she fled. Now, she left the land because the prophet told her, famine's coming, leave, come back after 7 years. And so she's done that. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life." In other words, this is the one I was telling you about. And when the king asked the woman, she related it to him. Listen to what happened for her. And I'm doing this because I know it's healing school, but you cannot separate into pockets the work of the cross and say, "Well, I can believe in healing here, but I don't believe in provision at all." You can make that choice. But the word, that one act, provided both. So the king appointed for her a certain officer and told that officer, "Restore all that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day that she left until now." And I would say that's what the Lord wants to do with us with healing is today, is to redeem the time that has been stolen from us when we've not been feeling like we could do what he's calling us to do. Isaiah, speaking of Jesus in Isaiah 57, "I have seen his ways, but I will heal him." So he's saying, I've seen that he's not perfect, but the Lord's saying, I'm going to heal him. "I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the praise of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord." And then it concludes by saying, "I will heal him," or Rapha is the word that's used there, "the Lord our healer." Zechariah in Zechariah 9:12, and there's just two more. "Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have hope." And isn't it interesting that part of our restoration, or the process of our restoration, begins first with what? Us having hope, being anchored in the one who is our hope. "Return to the stronghold, O prisoners who have hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you." And so can I just say that today is your day of salvation? And you know that salvation includes our healing. And then finally, a word to us in James 5:15. And this is talking about when the elders, it says, call the elders to pray. 15 reads this way, "And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up." Saints, that's our promise today. We don't have to settle for the situation we find ourselves in. This is where we are, but it is not who we are destined to be. And so let me encourage you today. Go back over some of these verses. Allow them to just come to life. And if you can grab hold of one that is a rhema, you're not grabbing hold of it just because you want one. you're grabbing hold of it because the Lord just causes it to just shine brighter and you know it's gone deep in your heart. Begin to declare that word. Do it boldly. Don't settle. Command those things which are yours, things that Jesus accomplished for us. Command those with boldness. Be big in commanding. And what does it say? When we resist the devil, and that's one way we do it, it says he will flee. And I believe that word literally means to flee as in stark terror. He has no answer for you declaring the word of the Lord that has become alive in your heart. It must bring health to your body. That's his promise to us. When we believe it, we hear that word, it becomes alive, and we act upon it. And then we simply rest in his rest and let the Lord do his work. So let's pray as we close. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you've given us so many different ways to receive our healing. I thank you that you are the God of all restoration. Your heart is for us to have the same body, to not just to get healed, but to even stay healed, to be as it was in the garden. And though things come against us, you tell us that you've given us ways for you to work that work of restoration when things attack us. So, Father, I just ask today for a revelation for people who are listening on the video, those who are here with us. Give us that rhema word. Give us that word of life that we can speak that brings forth restoration in what area that we need it. You are, Father, a God who restores, and today we receive the fullness of everything that the cross restored for us in Jesus' name. Bless you. We thank you for coming today, and we thank you for viewing. If you've got some prayer requests or if you've got a testimony, please just use the comment section and you can convey that to us, or you can send a private message on the Facebook page for High Point Church. And we thank you for coming. We bless you. And we just declare once more, 2021 is our year of restoration. Restore, restore, restore. Bless you.